Cale Clark here. Thanks for listening to my podcast. Check out Charity Mobile and prayerfully consider making them your wireless carrier. Mention offer code Relevant Radio and get a free phone. Don't delay. CharityMobile.com. That's CharityMobile.com.
Fascinating facts, candid conversations, and some levity to lighten your day. This is the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio.
A terrific Tuesday to you. It is June the 28th, 2022. It's the feast day of St. Irenaeus, and this is the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio. You can call in right now, 888-914-9149. It's a toll-free line. Grab a vine to talk to me, 888-914-9149. You can also email the show, cale@relevantradio.com, C-A-L-E at relevantradio.com, and you can follow me on Twitter, at Cale Clark, C-A-L-E, Clark with an E. And show account is at Cale Clark Show. Well, what I love it when people send me show ideas, because very often it's just something that grabs my attention. I've got to talk about it. Patrick Alog, who's taking calls for us today, he sent me this article. Actually, he'll be along later. I guess Nick's working the phones right now. But Nick Senevich, the sentient one, is working the phones. But Patrick will be along later in the show. Patrick sent me this really cool article from the University of Notre Dame Church Life Journal, which always has a lot of intriguing pieces to peruse. And you can check that website out. It's really good. The Church Life Journal, just Google that. And it's all about gas station screens and our soul sicknesses. I don't know if this is something that jarred me, and the author of this piece, and the actual title of the article is called Attention and the Screen Sick Soul. And the author of the piece is a guy named Stephen Knepper. Stephen Knepper actually teaches at VMI, the Virginia Military Institute. He teaches English, rhetoric. I guess he's a rhetorician. He's probably pretty convincing with his arguments. And he also teaches humanistic studies at VMI. And he's got this really interesting piece. And he talks about the first time that he ever was served up an advertisement at a gas station. And I can identify this because this recently happened to me, and it was a jarring experience for me. And he says that he pulled off of I-64 in Virginia on one of those torpid August days. The pavement puckers and snaps underfoot. The heat writhes in the air. The kind of day when mirage-like unreality already pervades a service station. So, you know, those hot August days, you can see the heat, the waves of heat coming off the pavement. Those days are coming. And he's gassing up his car, and then he hears this voice from over his shoulder. And he jumped. He was scared. He was like, "What? Who the heck is talking to me? Am I about to get robbed? What's going on here?" And he turned around, and there was a screen on the gas pump that he hadn't noticed before. And you know how when you're at a gas station in the U.S. and you have to enter your zip code. And this is always a problem for me, because whenever I visit, you know, the U.S., being a Canadian, I'm like, "What do I put in here?" So or else they won't let you use your credit card. So I always go with 90210. Right? You know, it's the dream of. Dylan and 90210 and Brenda and okay, all right. But anyways, so he puts in his zip code, and that triggers this screen to come on and starts playing an ad. And he's like, "What in the world is going on?" And he saw an ad of, you know, there's a few things that kind of flitted across the screen as he's filling up his car: self-help advice, celebrity gossip news, product promotion, you know, three Snickers bars for a dollar, that kind of thing. So he did note, though, that there was an employee of the gas station who said either this guy's a saint or a rebel, maybe he's both. He actually took a marker out and he labeled the mute button. Here is the mute button. If you don't want to listen to these ads while you're filling up your car, press this button. Thank heavens for this guy. So this is what's known as, this is an extreme example of the attention economy. And we all have been victims of the attention economy. So what does that really mean? It essentially means that our attention, our eyeballs, our ears, our senses, our attention is a resource. And there's a guy named Matthew Crawford who wrote a book about this. And this is kind of intriguing, too. The book, it's quoted a lot in this article by Stephen Knepper. So there's this guy named Matthew Crawford who wrote a book called The World Beyond Your Head on Becoming an Individual in an Age of Distraction. So he wrote about this whole idea of the attention economy. And for this guy, the breaking point was when he was trying to buy something and he was using his credit card. He was at a point of sale machine using his credit card. And while it's processing his credit card, it's spitting out ads towards him, like trying to sell him stuff. And he's like, can I not even have a moment of peace here without being served up an ad? For goodness sakes. So this is what happens to us all the time. If you've been in the grocery store recently or in a retail store, sometimes you walk by the aisle and there's a sensor that sort of knows you're passing by. And then all of a sudden the screen comes on and a voice. It's almost like at the gas station. Have you considered, buying, V8? You need some vegetables in your life, or something like that. And so, man, this is unbelievable, the reach of marketers into our lives. And sometimes it's just absurd. And Stephen Knepper talks about he was in South Bend, Indiana, the home of Notre Dame University. And he was there, and maybe he was visiting the school, I don't know. But he went into a bar in South Bend, and even the urinals had screens on the top of them. And yes, they do exist. And in fact, in his article, that's the image in the article. It's a bunch of urinals, a row of urinals with screens on them. As you're looking down, you're being served ads. And you really can't avoid it. And he's like, as I'm watching these ads at the urinal between vacation rentals, what are the drink specials for tonight? It's happy hour. He's like, I never thought, he said, I'd be nostalgic for hand-scrawled, raunchy witticisms on the bathroom wall. Vulgar, yes, very crass, very vulgar things. We've all seen them written between the cracks of the tiles or whatever. He's like, well, at least in a weird way, as vulgar as those things are, it's a lot more human in a way than this. What in the world is going on here? And maybe you've seen these things if you're a man. I don't know I'm sure they'll put them in all washrooms, in women's washrooms as well. There'll be screens on the backs of the doors in the stalls in the bathrooms. I don't know. But they're all over the place in airports. And it's a raid on our attention all the time. And Stephen Knepper says in his article, this is really bad for him as a person, because the way his personality is, he's easily hooked in. He's easily distracted. He said he's a daydreamer. He's anxious at times. It's easy for him to get lost in his thoughts. And he has struggled ever since he was a kid to be fully in the moment. Maybe you can identify with that. Maybe you can identify with that. Well, we try not to do that at Relevant Radio, because here at Relevant Radio, we want to be live and in the moment. That's one of our taglines. So apparently he struggled with that, to be live and in the moment, to be fully in the moment. And so a lot of his, and maybe it's a way of sort of scratching his own itch, but as a scholar, Stephen Knepper, a lot of his research, a lot of stuff he reads about, a lot of stuff he writes about is all about trying to overcome this, trying to be more present in the moment. But it's hard to do that when there's a screen, there's a voice in your ear all the time, and you can't get away from this attention economy. You're listening to the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio. Can you relate to any of this? Call in 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. Or follow me on Twitter at Cale Clark, C-A-L-E, Clark with an E. And there is a spiritual way to overcome this, which we're going to get to, but there's a huge lesson for us as Catholics. But I think we kind of, and this is painful for me to read this, because I've done this too. He says this, and I'm going to quote him here, Stephen Knepper. He says, my eyes drift to the screens that seem to hang in every restaurant corner. I find it hard to click the exit button as Netflix autoplays the next episode. Oh, just one more, right? You're doing a late night binge session, and I should probably go to bed. Oh, but there's one more. I could do one more. And it's like 2 o'clock in the morning. My fingers, he says, ache to check my phone to click on links that are generated by algorithms that continually construct a profile to net me, to ensnare me in their net more effectively. And this is the really painful part for me to read, because I've done this myself. He says, too often I am less than present for my beloved and my children, for my friends and my family, for the God I profess, yet to whom I sometimes do not pray, because I am distracted by a cooking game app. And then he says, bitter irony, I have found myself annoyed at my children for playing nearby while I am trying to listen to a podcast about how to be present. Oh man, that's a painful one, because I've actually been there myself. I've been there, guilty as charged. And the irony that's in that, the bitter irony, as he says, annoyed at my children for playing. Hey, you're making too much noise. I'm trying to listen to a podcast about being present, about being a better parent, maybe. So this is the problem. He says there's a war for our attention, but it's also a war against our attention. It's a war against our attention, because our world is a world of really short video clips, 2-minute reads. You know, you see these articles on the, sometimes when you're reading an article, it'll say at the top, this article is a 2-minute read, or this article is a 6-minute read. It's like, okay, all right, I've got time here. I've got a minute. I'm on my break. I've got a 2-minute read. Okay, I can do that. There's Twitter. There is TikTok. There are all kinds of machines out there looking for our attention. We swipe, he says, from image to image. We click from link to link. We multiply browser tabs. I'm the champion of having a million browser tabs open. I don't know about you. What's your personal record for browser tabs open? I've had so many tabs open that they all just shrink down, and there's about 30 different tabs, and I can't even read what's on the tabs anymore. Just in case I want to go back to that article later. On my iPhone, I've got hundreds of tabs open at any given time on my Safari app. Oh, this is an article I might use on the show, or whatever the case may be. So we multiply browser tabs. Our attention is dispersed. So he says our attention gets broken down into really small units of exchange that get spent. Like you're at a casino and you're putting quarters in the slot machine. And people have, by the way, and the author Cal Newport has talked about this. He's got a really interesting TED Talk. If you want a really interesting TED Talk that'll challenge you, especially if you're deep into social media, go onto YouTube and find Cal Newport's talk called Quit Social Media. It's a TED Talk. It's one of these, you know, they have like TEDx San Francisco, or there's all these like different kinds of TED Talks. So he has a TED Talk called Quit Social Media. It's a pretty short, you know, in terms of your time consumption. You know, we're talking about, you know, units of attention. I think it's about 15 minutes long. It's not too long. But he talks about how when social media kind of got started, when Zuckerberg started Facebook and all the other social media sites got going, they quite literally consulted with Las Vegas casino operators on how to capture people's attention so that they won't leave the site. And I can totally identify that, because I've talked about this before. I used to work in a casino. Yeah, imagine that. So I used to work in marketing at a casino. So that's what we tried to do. We tried to snag people's attention. And I remember some guys from Vegas came to train us. And I've told the story before a couple of years ago, so apologies if you remember this one. But I remember they told us that, hey, don't be surprised. And there was never a casino in my city before, but they said, don't be surprised if people get so hooked and addicted to the slot machines that they will literally go to the bathroom right there on their, they'll bring their, wear their Depends, and they will literally go to the bathroom right there on their stool instead of going to the actual washroom to deal with their stool. Okay, it's a terrible joke. But anyways, so why is that? Because they don't, because it's going to go. Like if you pull the handle enough times, you're going to hit the jackpot at some point. And it's just a matter of time, right? It's after so many pulls, it's going to go. And if you've been sitting there for hours you don't want to do all this work, you know, put in all these quarters, and then you get up, the next person sits down, ding, 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 oh, they pull it once, and they, that should be mine. So people will go to all kinds of extremes. They won't eat. They'll just kind of sit there like zombies. And one of the things that they do in casinos, a little insider information for you here, if you ever go into a casino, you'll notice there's never any windows and there's never any clocks. Again, because they don't want you to know how long you've been there. Oh my goodness, it's dark. I should probably get home. Or what time's? Oh no. So it's all by design. Everything is by design. The bells and whistles, the sounds, the fake phony check they give you. They take your picture when you win. It's all meant to, what you get addicted to is actually the adrenaline rush of winning. It has nothing to do with the money in the end. It's the adrenaline rush of winning. That's what you get addicted to. Your brain kind of craves it. So if you think about social media, and if you're on Twitter or you're on Facebook, what are you doing constantly? You're pulling down the screen on your phone to refresh the page, to refresh your feed. Oh, I wonder if somebody else has tweeted in the last 5 seconds. That's exactly like pulling the handle of a slot machine. So just a little tip, check out that talk, TED talk by Cal Newport called Quit Social Media. It's really intriguing. So this is what's going on here. They're trying to get our attention, and they're trying to sell us things. They're trying to avert our attention to somewhere else, to spend the limited time that we have every day on what they want us to see, what they want us to hear. And so we need to counteract this here, because there's a war not only for our attention, as Stephen Nepper says, but there's a war against our attention as well. How do we win that war? Well, there's a couple things we need to understand, he says. First of all, we need to talk about the two different definitions of the word attention. Attention. So the first one is obviously the most obvious one. Whatever we're looking at the moment, whatever we're pointing our eyes at, that's attention. But there's also another definition of the word attention, which is a capacity for sustained focus. Sustained focus. If you've ever had trouble focusing on something, it could be because of this war on your attention. This is what the attention economy is all about. So when you look at it, Stephen Nepper talks about the skyrocketing cases of ADD, attention deficit disorder, ADHD, attention deficit, I don't know what the H is for, hyper disorder, I don't know, I should probably look that up, among kids and adults as well. And people say, well, it's, you know, you got to take some medication for it. There's a neuro thing going on here. There's a biological thing. Take some medication, calm yourself down, then maybe you can focus. But maybe it's not all, for some people, it might be about body chemistry, but for others, it might not be. It might be the consequences of the war on your attention. Social media. We all know the deleterious effects of social media on teens, their mental health, all kinds of things. So how do we get this? How do we get the deep attention? How do we get away from these algorithms and these services that, and don't forget, anytime you sign up for something like social media sites, and it's free. Well, it's free to sign up. It's never free, because you are the product. And anything that's free, that means you are the product. And what are they doing? They're harvesting your data, things that you like, things that you click on. Then guess what? You get served up ads for similar things. Oh, wow. How did they know I wanted a pair of Nike running shoes? Well, because you clicked on something and they saw that. So you know this. I know this. But how do we spiritually conquer this? Because here's the problem. If we don't fix this, we'll never be able to experience God. Now, that might sound shocking to you, but it's true. If we don't fix this problem of our attention, if we don't pay attention to our inattention, we will never, ever be able to find God. So that's a big problem. We got to fix it. So we're going to find out more about this after the break. You're listening to The Cale Clark Show, 888-914-9149. If this resonates with you, call in. I want to hear about your experience. 888-914-9149. Be right back. Hi, this is Cale Clark. Thanks for listening to my podcast. Check out Charity Mobile and prayerfully consider making them your wireless carrier. They're a pro-life phone company, and 5% of your monthly plan price goes to Relevant Radio or another pro-life charity of your choice. For a limited time, new customers who mention offer code Relevant Radio get a free phone with free activation and free shipping. Don't delay. CharityMobile.com. That's CharityMobile.com. The Catholic Order of Foresters, the sponsor of our studio's line, is hiring today. Several positions are available throughout the United States. Visit relevantradio.com/forester to learn more about how you can find your vocation with Catholic Order of Foresters, an Illinois Life Insurance Society, not licensed in all states.
Helping you keep your mind off traffic and on the more important things in life. It's Cale Clark on Relevant Radio.
Welcome back on this Tuesday. 888-914-9149 is the studio line to call. We're talking about the war for our attention, the war against our attention. And how do we overcome this? There are screens screaming at us everywhere, from gas stations to urinals. It's gotten a little bit too much, and we've lost the ability to focus. We've lost the ability to pay attention, quite literally. And that's going to hurt us in a lot of ways. And I mentioned Cal Newport earlier, who's such a fascinating individual, teaches at Georgetown University. He's written a lot of incredible books, such as Deep Work. And one of the things he says in that book is that you can actually set yourself apart in the job market. So if you're a young person or even an older person like listening to this, if you have the ability to do focused work, that's actually a marketable skill these days, because nobody can keep attention on anything for longer than 15, 20 seconds, it seems like, before they have this itch to check their phone. Or I worked with a guy like this once, and Newport talks about, he contrasts deep work with shallow work. Now, shallow work is, you know, answering emails and little things here and there, and I got to call this person back. But you never get into any of these deep projects. You're talking at the water cooler, whatever the case may be. So this ability to focus will set you apart almost immediately. And oddly enough, this is interesting. The church and her ancient wisdom, which is always ever ancient yet ever new, can help us out of this jam, can help us out of this mess, so that we can live focus, we can live deep lives, we can live a deep faith, and have a happiness and a deep down joy, not just happiness, because as you know, happiness depends on what's happening around you, but this joy, this deep down joy that can never be taken away. As Jesus says, in this world, you will have trouble. Problems are a part of life. I'm reading this book that I've talked about before, 4,000 weeks. That's about the amount of time of an average lifespan. Life is nothing but a series of problems, one after another. You're never going to have this problem-free existence. And in many ways, life is just about dealing with problem after problem after problem that you've got in front of you and just conquering through that. But Jesus says, in this world, you will have trouble, in John's gospel, before he goes to the cross. In this world, you will have trouble, but take heart, for I have overcome the world. And he talks about the peace that he gives. It's not of this world. It's beyond, above and beyond anything that we can imagine. We can't get it through natural means. It's supernatural. So how do we do this? Well, again, in this article by Stephen Knepper in the Church Life Journal in Notre Dame, and I'll provide a link to it. I'll send producer Jim a link, and he'll put it in the show notes, and you can check the podcast later on relevantradio.com. You can also get it through the website, which I guess that is the website, isn't it? Relevantradio.com, but also through the app. Your podcast purveyor of choice, whether it's Apple Podcasts, Spotify, you name it. I don't think we have as many downloads as Joe Rogan, but we're getting there. But anyway, so I'll provide a link to the article. And Stephen Knepper says in this article, he says, before we figure out how to recapture our attention from the people that want to steal it from us, we need to figure out what it means to have robust attention. He says, well, if you read modern philosophy books, they tend to talk about human beings as creatures of will and creatures of action. Will and action. That's what's important for a lot of philosophy today. It makes me think of the movie Batman Begins. And I still have to see, by the way, I still have to see the new Batman with Robert Pattinson. Can't believe I didn't see that in the theaters because I'm a big superhero fan. But of course, Batman Begins with Christian Bale. Such a classic. And that's a great movie, too, because it's really about vocation. It's really about vocation. It's a spiritual movie. I like to tell myself that anyways. But there's this great scene where Ra's al Ghul is training, you know, Bruce Wayne to become Batman. And they're having this sort of like sword fight on a frozen lake. It's really cool. And he says, you know, your training is nothing. The will is everything. The will to act. You know, the will to act. And then later on in the film, you know, Batman says, and I'm not going to spoil the context of this, but he says, famous line from Batman, he says, it's not who I am underneath, but what I do that defines me. Okay, so there you go. I can, if you're listening, I can do some voiceover Batman stuff, Warner Brothers, hey, for the next Batman cartoon movie. I don't know, call me. Anyways, but it's not who I am underneath, but what I do that defines me. And that's the way people often think, right? Will and action is really, really important. But there's something missing there. It's not a full view of the human person. And, you know, Stephen Epper says basically that kind of philosophy neglects the fact that it's not just about our will. It's not just about what we do. We are also creatures who are created to receive. He says we're receptive creatures. And we receive all kinds of data and information through our external senses. And I remember once taking a class in philosophy, and sort of an intro to philosophy class, and it was taught by this incredible priest named Father Greg Haddock, who passed away a couple of years ago. I believe he's a living saint, but he was a priest of Opus Dei, and he taught this course on philosophy. And I remember being really intrigued by this concept that all knowledge that we get comes to us through the senses. And I never really thought about that before. Like, it all comes through our external senses. But we also are receptive. We also receive through our souls, through our eternal souls. And Nepper says, you know, these things actually intersect. There's sort of a, if you look at it like a Venn diagram, there's overlapping circles here, I guess you could say. How we receive through our senses, but also through our souls. And sometimes the two come together. So think about if you ever had an experience where you smell something. I don't know, like some food or, you know, an apple pie baking. It just kind of reminds you of your mom's kitchen or something when you're growing up. A sound, you know, whether it's of an old song, a smell, a certain taste, that can flood us with memories. And that has to do with our soul, right? Because our soul is really made up of three things: memory, intellect, and will, right? So we can't just focus on the will. We also have to focus on the memory, the intellect, on the intellect as well. So it's kind of what makes you you. So when you dream, you can almost feel things. Some dreams are almost like visceral experiences. And so the writer William Desmond says we are porous creatures. Isn't that true? Like we're porous, like skin, right? Our skin has pores and it can receive things, and sometimes those pores can become clogged, right? The pores of our soul, if you will. Just like, you know, I had a lot of acne as a kid, you know, maybe I should have had medication. I don't know. Maybe I would have gotten a few more dates, but your pores can become clogged and the pores of your soul can become clogged as well. And that happens when we get caught up in anxiety, worry, fantasies, mystical wishful thinking, the cares of this world, the grind, the attention economy, all of these things that are jamming for our attention. Netflix, TikTok, Twitter, Facebook. Oh my goodness, I can't keep up with it. It's just a barrage. It's a barrage. So we don't pay attention to things that are going on. So we have to clean out our pores, if you will. We have to cleanse. We have to do a cleanse. And so this is what we really needed. And the interesting thing is that the church has has really the antidote for this. And we often don't understand this. And there's a really interesting, I never heard of this guy before, but in the article, the author quotes this guy named Byung-Chul Han, who I've never heard of, and I'm assuming he's South Korean, I could be wrong, but this guy named Byung-Chul Han, and he's written some stuff, and it's been translated into English, but apparently this is like wild stuff. So he's written this book called The Burnout Society. Wow, what a title, huh? That's exactly what we're living in right now, The Burnout Society. So he writes in this book, the Burnout Society. He talks about how the attention crisis, there's so much stimulus going on. There's so much, I'm not talking about Biden's economic stimulus. I'm talking about this attention that's always, your eyeballs are constantly being drawn to all this stuff. It leads to burnout. So he says, what we need is the negative potency, he says. We need something he calls not to. So you don't react right away. You don't respond to stuff right away. When you see something that angers you on social media, you don't you write the angry tweet in response. You don't throw the person under the bus or whatever the case may be. When you get the stimuli, you don't respond right away. It's stimulus response, but you got to hold off. You've got to do what he calls not to. You got to make that space to reflect, to discern, to contemplate. And if you don't do that, you're going to be at the mercy of all the impulses that are coming at you all the time, every day, all day. So this is really important. So here's a real world example of how this might work. If we're not paying attention to this, Stephen Knepper talks about this idea that, okay, imagine you're rushing out of the office. It's the end of a busy day at the office. You've got all kinds of unfinished items on your to-do list. You are late to pick up your child in the after-school program. As you're leaving the office, your cell phone starts to ding, 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 ding. I've got all these messages. Oh, my. And then as all this is going on, you're walking past one of your coworkers. And, you know, you're friendly with this person, but, you know, you're not necessarily buddies who are going to hang out and watch the Bears game on Sunday. And you don't notice that this guy, his face is full of worry. I mean, he's worried. His brow is furrowed. He's got a halo of pain around his face. And you don't even notice this guy. Because if you don't get away from your own personal preoccupations, you're not going to figure this out. You're not going to be able to put your own agenda aside to attend to the other person. So, but this is exactly what our faith encourages us to do. It's all about others, right? When you look at the Ten Commandments, you know, half the list is about how we relate to others. We relate to God, we relate to other people. Honor your father and mother. Do not murder. Do not steal. Love your neighbor. Love God. Love your neighbor. That's the core of it, right? And when you think about it, this is not going on at all, unfortunately, in our culture in so many ways. And Knepper talks about all these social media videos, and we've seen a lot of them where there's fights that break out. There's things going on in the streets, and most people aren't helping. They're filming the encounter because they want to post it on social media instead of helping the person who's in distress. So he says, maybe a more contemporary version of the parable of the Good Samaritan, the bleeding man is not ignored, but he's either not noticed at all, you just walk by him because you're looking down at your phone, or you're filming this whole thing for your own personal benefit. That's not what God wants of us. So we've got to avoid being inattentive of other people. And that's one of the problems of this attention economy that's always seeking to grasp us, that we are inattentive to other people. And I read another article recently about marriage, and the guy was basically saying, who wrote the piece, actually, sorry, it was a lady who wrote the piece, and she said, why is it that we're so nice, and she didn't say it in so many words, but she basically said, why is it that we're so nice to perfect strangers? Hey, how you doing? So nice to see you. Hey. But our own spouse, we're just like, what's up? We're just going to walk past them, and, you know, we're not cheerful. We take it for granted. What's for dinner tonight? You know, and we just kind of go through these routines, inattentive routines. That's what our relationships can seep into, and that's what Stephen Knepper says. And that's a problem. Now at one level, it's okay, because when you get into routines, every relationship has routines, right? And we should have, you know, certain routines even in our relationship with God, certain times of the day that we spend with God, that we get into a routine. It's important to have sort of a schedule. It's, you know, if possible, how are we going to spend this day that God has given us? Let's break it down hour by hour. What am I going to do? This is when I'm going to pray. This is when I'm going to try to go to Mass. This is when I'm going to pray the rosary. Maybe I'll listen to I'll pray it with Father Rocky, the Family Rosary Across America. Okay, that's when I'm going to do that. And we have routines with our spouse. We have routines with our friends. We have routines, routines, routines. And routines can be good, but they can also be dangerous because they can become a rut. So as Stephen Knepper says, the problem with constancy in a relationship is that you're kind of going along this static line. It's very constant. Okay, that's good because the line goes on. It keeps going. You're in the relationship. Great. It perseveres. But a constant line can also be a little bit like a flat line on a hospital monitor, right? Like we're, you know, ba-dum, 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 beep, you know, oh, sorry, the operation was successful, but the patient died. So we don't want that flat line. We don't want it to be dead. We need vitality in our relationships. We need that. A relationship with God and a relationship with other people. So we're not going to be able to do that unless we're able to focus on other people. So, and this is really cool too. Knepper gives the analogy of hunting. I'm not a hunter. I don't want to get into, don't call in saying hunting is wrong or whatever. Oh yeah, whatever. I mean, people have different opinions on this, but that's not the point of his illustration here. He talks about deer hunting. So he grew up in this really rural community where there, during hunting season, there was this deer hunting ritual. And every autumn, it was kind of, he says, it was almost like a religious rite. Because, and they would actually eat the meat. Like, it's not like they were just hunting for sport. They would eat the meat, they would eat the deer, maybe have venison for dinner or whatever, make some deer jerky, whatever. So they would eat the deer and make use of it, whatever. Okay, so, but he's like, there's something else going on here. Not just were we trying to provide food for ourselves, but he says there was something deeper going on. There's something deeper at play here. He says part of it was the oral mythology of the hunt, the rites of passage, the generational continuity. Elders in the community would introduce adolescents to deer hunting. Extended family members, we'd have these gatherings at the cabin in the woods. We'd tell stories, whatever. But he said, for me, he said, as a kid, it was the contemplative solitude that he loved about it. Now, he didn't like it at first because when he was a kid, he thought it was as boring as watching paint dry on a wall, okay? He said when he was a boy, he had all these dreams. I'm going to get a deer. I'm going to get a trophy. I'm going to have glory. But the reality was pretty disappointing because I'm sitting there for hours in a hunting blind. And I guess that's where you're kind of in the woods. You're covered in branches and camouflage, and you're kind of just sitting there waiting for a long, long time. And it's cold, and maybe it's damp. It's dank, it's damp, it's wet, whatever. Or you're in a hunting stand, you're up in a tree, and you're just kind of observing the scene from above and just waiting, 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 waiting. And he became very restless as a young boy trying to take part in this. But as he grew older, he started getting more contemplative about it. He started listening. Hey, I can actually attune myself to the sounds of the woods, the sound of nature, maybe the smells, the shades, the silences. And initially he said the woods used to seem empty and boring to me, but then they became strangely contemplative. Now, when he became a college student, people would start hunting with ATVs and Bluetooth speakers and stuff, and it got noisy. But he's like, you know, even now, he says when he goes to visit his parents, he will go out into the woods by himself, and he'll slip away to the old hunting stand up in the tree, and he'll just sit there in the silence. And he says, I'm hunting for something without a gun. What am I hunting for? I think he's really hunting for God. He's hunting for God. And so this is what we need to do. We need to become contemplatives. And St. Jose Maria Escrivá talked about this, the founder of Opus Dei. He talked about you need to be a contemplative in the middle of the world. That's hard to do, but this is what most of us are called to become, right? Because yes, some of us are called to the monastery. Some of us are called to leave the world, to pray for the world. But most of us are called to be in the middle of the world. And one time somebody asked St. Jose Maria, hey, what's your favorite chapel? What's your favorite tabernacle? He's like, actually, my favorite chapel is the street. My favorite chapel is the street. That's where I find God the best. There's a famous story about him where he had this incredible mystical experience while he was riding a streetcar. It'd be like riding a subway in New York City or something like that. He had this incredible experience of God's fatherhood there. And so the problem is, and this is what another writer says, that modern people very often equate solitude with loneliness. Just because you're alone doesn't mean you're by yourself. God is there. The unseen kingdom of the saints, you know, they're all around us. We just don't know this. We can't see it with our physical eyes. We're not aware of it sometimes. But we've got to be attuned to it. And this is why people, I think, are so lonely. They're constantly looking for the distraction. And I remember, I'll tell the story in a second because I got another good story, but we got to take a break. Producer Jim is saying, you got to get out. So we got to take a break right now. 888-914-9149. We'll be right back after this. It's the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio. Hey, welcome back to the program. It's the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio, 888-914-9149. We're talking about the war for our attention and the war against our attention. How do we win that war? And again, this idea that modern people too often equate solitude with loneliness, that's something we've really got to get beyond. And I think this is part of the reason for the frenzied activity of people, why they always have to be constantly looking at their phone, why they constantly have to be sometimes people just don't like to be alone. And this isn't necessarily a strictly modern problem. A lot of famous writers throughout history have noted, everybody from Pascal to Henry David Thoreau, about this people never wanting to be by themselves, because I think it forces them to grapple with existential things, God, eternity. They don't want to think about that stuff, their mortality. They don't want to deal with it. They don't want to have to face that. So they distract themselves in a multitude of ways. And it's so much easier to do that now with the modern tools of distraction than it was before. And I remember Carl Keating, and most of you know who Carl Keating is. He was a lawyer who founded the apostolate known as Catholic Answers out in San Diego, California. And he really got started with that. By the way, it's an amazing story, and most of you know this story, but he kind of started when, and he wrote this famous book called Catholicism and Fundamentalism, which was really the first modern day approach to dealing with a lot of fundamentalist Protestant objections to the Catholic faith. And this all kind of got started when he was coming out of his parish church and he just got tired of it. Every single Sunday, there'd be a Protestant congregation somewhere else in town. And during the Mass, they would put these Bible tracts, these Protestant pamphlets, if you will, on people's cars. They put them under their windshield wipers. And, you know, the Catholic Church is unbiblical. It's of the devil. That sort of thing, you know, and just all these misconceptions about the Catholic Church. And it's very much, again, the dictum of Fulton Sheen holding true. And you can obviously hear Fulton Sheen on Relevant Radio, on the Relevant Radio app. Just a little plug there. Life is Worth Living was his famous show, and he used to say that there are not more than 100 people in America who hate the Catholic Church, but there are millions who hate what they wrongly perceive to be the Catholic Church. There's so much misintel about it. And so Keating just got tired of this, and so he wrote his own pamphlet, and he called it Catholic Answers. And so he went to that church, that Protestant congregation, during their service, and he put his Catholic pamphlets on people's cars, on their windshields. And they didn't like it. They didn't like the pushback. He was giving them a taste of their own medicine, and they had a problem with it. It was like, hey, well, hey, fair turnabout's fair play, and let's have a discussion about this. So anyway, that's who Carl Keating is. And I remember him telling the story once that when he went to buy a car, he went for a test drive with the salesperson, and the guy's like, they're on the highway. He's like, aren't you going to turn on the radio? I mean, this car has a killer sound system, you know, Bose speakers. I mean, the subwoofers are like astounding. I mean, this is amazing. He's like, no, I don't listen to the radio. What are you talking about? Well, you know, even in my present car, he said, the only time I ever used the radio was when I bought it. I turned it on to make sure it worked. And that was the last time I ever turned it on. What? How in the world can you spend time in your car and not listen to the radio? Now, just caveat, by the way, it's okay if you're listening to Relevant Radio. All right, we have more than 100 radio stations almost all across the United States. It's okay. to do that. But at all other times, you should be praying. I'm only kidding. But that's exactly what Carl Keating does. He's like, well, that's when I'm in the car and I'm on a long drive, I can think, I can pray, I can contemplate, I can maybe pray the rosary. But most people never get there because they need to be listening to something. They need to be anything to distract them from the finitude of their mortal lives. And so this is what we've got to do. Joseph Pieper, a theologian, very, very popular in the mid-20th century, he said, the average person of our time loses the ability to see because there is too much to see. That's the problem. There's so much distraction. We need to recover the ability to focus. And so this is what we can do when we focus on our spiritual life and give attention to God. Everyone else wants our attention. Well, we need to give our attention to God. When we contemplate God, that's when we can actually help other people. We can be attentive to their needs and just we'll have so much more peace. And this is one of the reasons why we've got to make some time for that relationship with God throughout the day. In periods of prayer, whether it's stopping at noon to pray the Angelus, hitting up a mass, a daily mass, maybe on your way to work, or maybe in the evening if you can, outside of Sunday mass. If you can go to at least one mass outside of a Sunday mass, you're doing a great favor to yourself. You'll see the difference in your spiritual life, praying the rosary. And St. Paul says in the New Testament, you know, pray at all times. Well, how do we do that? How do we do that? Well, I think it was G.K. Chesterton who said, you can't pray at all times unless you're praying sometimes. So if we get away with God, then, you know, like Jesus said, come away with me and get some rest, you know, and then go back into the hustle and bustle of the world. Then you can really make the street your prayer cell. You can make the street your chapel. You can be a contemplative in the middle of the world. And this is really what we can do. And I remember, this guy who wrote the article, Stephen Knepper, he quotes and refers to Cardinal Robert Sarah, who wrote this book called The Power of Silence. And if you're looking for a good spiritual book to read this summer, you can do a lot worse than this. Like this is an amazing book, The Power of Silence in the Midst of the Dictatorship of Noise. Wow, that's a great title, The Dictatorship of Noise. We've heard of the Dictatorship of Relativism, Pope Benedict coined that phrase. There's the dictatorship of noise. We have to recover the power of silence. And I remember a couple of years ago now. Wow, time flies. Cardinal Robert Sarah actually came to Toronto and he gave a talk. He gave a bunch of talks for the priests. And Cardinal Collins had invited him to come. And he also gave a talk sort of for the public. And it was at St. Michael's Cathedral, downtown Toronto. And I remember going to this because I was a big fan of Cardinal Sarah's work. He also had a book called God or Nothing, a great book as well. Really, really great thinker. And so I went to this talk and I was shocked that so many people came out to hear this talk about silence, the power of silence. And he, you know, English is not his first language. He is not the most, you know, he had great things to say, but he's not going to put on a show. He's not going to be an entertaining speaker in a certain sense. He had to concentrate to listen to what he had to say. But you could hear a pin drop. The whole cathedral was packed. And there were, I would say, at least 50% young people, university students, people in their 20s, early 30s. They were like hanging on his every word. There's obviously a deep need for this in the culture. It's absolutely huge. So we've got to refocus our attention on God with prayer. And I think also the liturgy is really important as well. You know, doing something physical is really good. This helps us to focus on God in one way. Stephen Knepper talks about even doing stuff like cooking or taking a dance class or playing basketball or woodworking or something like that helps you to get holistic attention. You're focusing on the task because it's not just a mind thing or a quote-unquote soul thing. We're a body-soul unity. And today's saint, St. Irenaeus, I wish I had more time. I'd talk more about him because he was really big on that, the unity of the human person, that Jesus wants to redeem the whole person. And this is what the liturgy is all about. Why is it that the first thing we do when we go into a Catholic church is everyone goes for the holy water, dips their fingers in, and makes the sign of the cross over their body? Because it's basically saying, I belong to God, body and soul. Our worship is physical, right? That's why we genuflect to the tabernacle, to the king, right? The presence, the real presence of the King of Kings in the Eucharist, Jesus Christ. This is why we kneel down at certain aspects of the liturgy, the Eucharistic prayer. It's physical. We physically receive the body and blood, soul and divinity of our Eucharistic Lord. And so in this way, it's holistic, right? It's holistically paying attention to God. The body educates the soul when we are in adoration. It's a posture of humility when we're on our knees. And so when we give this attention to God, you know, we know that we have his attention. His eyes are always on us, right? His eye is on the sparrow. It's on us as well. And so when we give this attention to God, he gives us this incredible gift. And then this is how we fight against it. As Stephen Knepper says, the attention economy, all it wants to do is take from you. God wants to give. He wants to give everything to you. He wants to give you himself. And that is the reward. That's it. I want nothing but you, Lord. Only you. That's my reward. That's what Aquinas said. That's what we have to shoot for as well. It's been the K.O. Clark Show. It's been wonderful having you with me today. Jim Shaper produced. Nick Senevich and Patrick Alog took your phone calls. You can check the podcast after the program. It should be up in a few minutes, within the hour. You can check it out. Share it with a friend. Timory is up next, followed by Father Rocky, the Family Rosary Across America. Talk to you tomorrow. Take it away, Michaela.
Thank you for listening to my daddy.